Welcome, everyone. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And this is Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I am here in the studio live with you today on this beautiful Father's Day with my good friend Alice Mize.
Hello.
So good to have you here, right
good
in the
to be
studio.
Here. Oh, yeah.
You used to have to call in from Texas. Remember those days?
Oh, wow. Yes, I remember those days when we tried to Skype in and tried to call in, and every once in a while would fade out.
That was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And then you've been back here with us in the church a little over a year, year and a half almost. A little over a year. Yeah. So good to have you back right here live. Don't you enjoy it?
I love it. It's wonderful to be back.
Yeah, it is. And we're so glad. And you sing lead in our praise band, and what a wild praise band that is.
We have fun.
Woo!
Worshiping God is always a good thing.
Oh, wow. Alice, today the music was just amazing.
It was. I think that we could have easily flown away.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. We were just caught up. Some of those songs are just so amazing. And just the high praises of God, you know?
Yeah.
And just feeling his presence, it just almost knocks you over up there, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a few times. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a few times I've got to hang on to the wall behind me.
No, I didn't know.
I'm going over.
And to some of you who don't even know what we're talking about, I tell you, when the anointing, which is the presence of God, is so strong like it was today live in our service at Beacon of Hope, it is hard to stand up sometimes. It's just the power of God is so amazing. It's so wonderful. It is just to be in his presence. Ah,
it's wonderful. I don't know how else to describe it. It's like, gosh, I don't know. There's nothing to compare to it. It's so uplifting, and it's so, it's such a joyous time. Mm-hmm. And it's just to have that, even though you're in a corporate setting, you still have that one-on-one communion with God.
Yes.
And just to feel his presence so close, it's wonderful.
Oh, and he just encourages you.
And
builds you up. And when we give ourselves to praise like that, you know, it is amazing what happens on the inside of us, you know?
Yeah, especially when sometimes you come into church and you just really don't feel like praising God. You're not into it or whatever.
Or maybe
and
you woke up on the other side of the bed.
Exactly.
Or something.
And you know, sometimes, you know, there's that song about I bring the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes it really is a sacrifice to bring that into church.
Right.
But it's so rewarding. It is so rewarding because you know, when you do that, God recognizes that you're making that sacrifice.
Yes.
And I think he blesses you even more.
Oh, he does. He does. And then as you begin, just entering in by faith, you know, because you're right. There are some days that people get up and they go, oh, I don't feel good. Maybe they're tired or whatever the case may be. But they get into the house of God and begin to worship. That's to me is just one of the great gifts of corporate worship.
Oh, yeah.
Is what happens to us in that place that we can't do, you know. You and I both, we're praisers, so we're going to be singing in our cars and and every place. But there is a difference when you're in the corporate setting, isn't
there?
Oh,
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You know, live music is just amazing. Yeah. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come and join us in at Beacon of Hope. We are in Clearwater, easy to find, 3700 Almerton.
Right behind the Burger King.
Yeah, right behind Burger King in a nice strip mall. And we're on the corner, and it's just really a great place and a great place to be a part of a family.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and families, you know, we kind of talked about it a little bit this morning, or I did. I just came back from a week with my children and two of my children and their families up in Indiana and my grandchildren, and a lot of fun, great time. And that's the one family. And we celebrate Father's Day today.
We do.
And talk about our birth families and our biological families, mm-hmm. that type of family. But then it's also the family of God. It's a different type of family, but also such a closeness.
And, yeah. And that's one of the things I really love about Beacon is the family, the atmosphere of family. You know, when you walk in, you know, there's people there that love you.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, even if you've never been there before,
right.
There's people there that love you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's always such a nice experience just to be enveloped in that.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, you know, we welcome newcomers to
come
and be a part and find a place where they can feel comfortable, you know?
Right.
So, it's Father's Day today, Alice. And where is your dada?
My dad is just north of Houston, Texas, in a little, well, it's not so little anymore. It's grown, but the Woodlands, Texas.
Okay.
So, Dad, I want to say hi.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day.
Cool.
Love you.
That's cool. That's great. And your father's an accomplished author, artist.
Yes, he's an accomplished author. He did finish his memoirs not too long ago. I guess it's been, over a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he's finished and published his memoirs.
Right.
So, yeah. It's called Parallel Lives.
Yes. Interesting. Yes. Yeah. So that's your dad.
That's my dad. Yeah, it's got stories in there of him growing up and stories of my stepmom and growing up. And it's really, when you read it, it's a love story. And,
it's a
and
love
how
story.
how they met and everything. It's really nice.
That's great. And your dad was from England.
Yes, my dad's
Your mother from,
England.
From China.
My mom from Hong Kong, yes.
Hong Kong.
Yes.
Isn't that fascinating? I think that's a fascinating tidbit about you, Alice.
Yeah, they met in at the University of London.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool. That's great. So that's your birth family.
Yes.
And then, of course, we have our spiritual family. So so that's cool. My dad, of course, went to be with the Lord before I ever met you, Alice.
That's
I met you in 08, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Dad had died the year before, the fall before, in 07. Died of leukemia, but a wonderful, wonderful servant of the Lord, pastor, missionary, evangelist, and... Mm-hmm. And
I don't know him, and I love him just from the stories that you've told, and that we share the love of some similar songs. So, you know.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Your favorite song was my dad's favorite song,
Through It All.
Yeah. And he loved the radio team, and he and my mom were living with me at the time we started the radio show. So I would bring the radio gang home for dinner every Sunday. And he loved that.
Yeah.
He loved Nathan getting on the piano and playing, and it was just cool. It was really cool. So someday we'll see him. I'll introduce you in heaven.
That would be great.
Okay.
We can sing a duet.
You can sing a duet. Oh, he was a singer, too. Yeah, absolutely. So we're excited about today's show, and for all of you that have tuned in different parts of the United States and also of the globe, because what's cool about this radio station is that we're live streamed around the globe.
I know. That's wonderful.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah.
And so friends and ours, people that we know and just other people can tune in on www.tantalk1340.com. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, you can actually access us right now. And we have live video streaming also.
Yeah.
Tantalk1340.com. So those of you that might miss a show from time to time, you can actually go on our website now. It's been this way a couple of years, beaconofhopeministries.com, and listen to the shows that can't see them, but you can listen to the shows.
Yeah.
And that's,
there's some good shows on there.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. There's some that I missed for whatever reason that I've gone back to listen to, and this, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit is right there.
Oh.
You can feel it even on the, you know, recorded shows. It's awesome.
Absolutely. The anointing is there. So we encourage you to make use of our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Go there. We've got shows, all of 10, 11, and 12 mm-hmm. are on there, and then other shows from the past since this is our sixth year. But it's exciting. So we got a great new song to start today. I've never heard this. The group is called For King and Country, Hold On to Me.
Winter has come back again. Feels like the season won't end. My faith is tired tonight, and I won't try to pretend. I've got it all figured out, that I don't have any doubts. I've got a busted heart, I need you now. Yeah, I need you now. Hold on. Don't let me lose.
chasing your love. I'm screaming out your name. Don't let me fall on my face. I've got a busted heart. I'm in need of a change. Oh, yeah, I'm desperate for grace. Oh, hold on to me. Take hold of me. Don't let me lose my way. Hold on to me. Broke your heart a thousand times, but you've never left my side. You have always been here for me. You never let me go. You never let me.
Whoa, that's a great song. That's a great song, isn't it?
Yeah.
You meet me right where I am. Wow, hold on to me.
Wow.
Yes. Go ahead.
Well, I wrote down this line because it really spoke to me.
Okay.
You know, talking to God, I broke your heart a thousand times, but you've never left my side. You know, and to me, that really hits home because, you know, I'm far from perfect, right? But there's so many times when I have done something that I know has just broken God's heart.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But I know that he's still there.
He's still there.
Still by my side. He's still holding my hand. He still says, I love you.
Exactly.
So.
Oh, he does. That's a great song. So, speaking of somebody who broke God's heart, we're still talking about David.
Yeah.
And David did some things that he shouldn't have done, but we're not even going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about something wonderful that he did. 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you have your Bibles, let's go there. Very familiar story, and we'll probably pull out some interesting things for you in this story. I have not been able, Alice, to get this off my heart all week long because I was in Indiana with my grandkids, and you know, I start praying earlier in the week about where we're going Sunday, you know, each week. And I just kept thinking of David and Goliath, David and Goliath. Mm. And I thought, you know, it's so familiar. Everybody knows that passage, that story. But I could not get it off my heart. And I believe it's very relevant for us today. I believe that God really wants to teach us some incredible truths today out of this passage. So I'm excited. So let's pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be on the airwaves today. We thank you for the opportunity to just bless you and thank you, God, for all your blessings in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your precious word, how it changes us, how it uplifts us, how it helps us through our daily problems and issues that we all go through. So, Lord, today we're grateful. We're so grateful for all that you do in our lives. We're grateful for our earthly fathers that have really just been a part of our lives for so long. Lord, there probably are people out there listening today that have not had a good experience with an earthly father. And Lord, we just ask that you help them realize today that you, their heavenly father, can be that for them, can be all of those things that they need from an earthly father. And Lord, we just ask that today, as the word goes forth, that comfort happens, healing happens, And the joy of our salvation is realized one more time with the truths of your word. So we give you glory and praise as we study. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
1 Samuel 17, the battle lines drew up with the Philistines and the Israelites, didn't they, Alice?
They sure did.
And it was like, it was. I think it's very interesting how this is pictured with the Philistines on the top of one hill, mm-hmm. across from the Israelites on another hill, but with a great big valley in between.
Right.
Isn't that fascinating?
It is. It is. If you think about it, both armies had a vantage point to see what would be the battlefield.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to sit there and wonder what was going to transpire down there,
right.
on that battlefield,
right.
you know?
Right.
But, I mean, with the Philistines, with the enemy up there at that height, and the Israelites looking across at them, it might have even made the stature of Goliath seem worse, even. Do you think?
I would think so. I mean, you know, the Bible describes him as a very tall, large man. So,
right.
You know, when you see him standing next to a regular-sized human being or, you know, a horse or whatever, you know, and he's, you know, head and shoulders above everybody.
Right.
That would be a little disheartening, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, commentaries say that he was at least 9 feet 9 inches, mm-hmm. at least that. And some commentaries said that he could have been as tall as 12 feet,
wow.
but probably around 10 feet. So, I mean, our average male is probably 5'8", 5'9", mm-hmm. in the United States, let's say. Other countries could be taller or shorter.
Right.
But let's say 6 feet. You're talking at least 4 feet taller.
Right.
Than the average person. I mean, that had to be alarming to look across there and see this giant, this huge giant over there. And it wasn't that he was just there, but he did something, didn't he? Constantly did something.
Yes, he did. He did challenged them.
He challenged
them, yes, very loudly.
Very loudly, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, even though I keep thinking, you know, if he stepped forward and maybe was in the valley saying, come here, come get me.
Right.
He probably didn't have to speak that loud.
Right.
In order for the Israelites to hear him, because,
right.
you know, the sound was going to carry. And I'm
Ooh.
Sure when this guy stepped forward, everything got really quiet.
Don't you think they were all thinking, oh, wow. We know they were frightened.
Oh, yeah.
The word says they were. In verse 4 of 1 Samuel 17. The giant, nearly 10 feet tall, stepped out from the Philistine line into the open. So there he comes, you know, and he does this. And it's like, okay, here I am. What are y'all going to do about this?
Right.
You know? And he had a bronze helmet on his head, dressed in armor. 126 pounds, the Message Bible says, of armor.
And if you think about it, not only is this guy huge and tall, right?
Right.
And he's stepping out, so he's away from everybody else.
Right.
But he's glittering, too, because he's got this armor on, you know, a bronze
sure.
helmet and all this other stuff. And, you know, the sun shining off
Ooh,
of him. And
that's
probably
a good
blind, and it's like,
mental
wow,
image.
Yeah. I wouldn't be up there. I'd be running to the back
running
myself.
Running to the back. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. And this, his spear tip alone weighed 15 pounds. That's, to me, amazing how just the tip of his spear. So, I mean, you know, the average person is going to be totally and completely terrified.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's not going to be any, oh, we can take him. It's not going to be like that, right?
No.
Even if all of us go, we can't take him,
right.
you know, because he's too huge. And in verse 8 of 1 Samuel 17, Goliath did not just come out and stand.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And by the way, y'all, Goliath is a type of Satan in our lives. And how he's there, he's around there, but there are times that he gets very vocal, doesn't he?
Yes. Yes, he does.
And he just really does his best to put us down, to scare us, to bring fear. Mm-hmm. You know, I said this morning, I think one of our biggest enemies is fear. Do you agree with that, Alice?
Definitely. I know that, you know, I've talked about this before on the radio, how I went through a time of you know, depression and fear.
Right.
And
yes.
I was afraid to step outside of my home.
Oh, that's right.
You know, and I know that was Satan putting that fear
right.
in me. I know
right.
that was not of God.
Yeah.
I know that now. You know?
But at the time.
But at the time, that fear was so, so real.
Yes.
And, you know, somebody could have said, you know, what, you know, you used to go outside all the time. What's the deal? Nothing's changed. But in my mind, it had.
Yes. If
something had changed and there
right.
was this great fear there. I was afraid. And if I would have to go out for a doctor's appointment or whatever, I would, the anxiety was just so intense.
Right.
You know, I couldn't do it by myself. Right. I had to have somebody with me.
Right. It's paralyzing.
Yeah, paralyzing fear. And so I can, you know, I can understand what the Israelites were going through, why nobody stepped forward.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe everybody stepped backwards, because that kind of fear, when you don't understand what the source of that fear is, especially, that kind of fear is just debilitating.
It's debilitating.
Right.
Absolutely. And that's what was going on right here. And the taunting is amazing, what was going on here. So in verse 8, I believe it is, yes, of 1 Samuel 17, Goliath stood there and called out to the Israelite troops, "Why bother using your whole army? Am I not Philistine enough for you? And you're all committed to Saul, aren't you? So pick your best fighter and pit him against me. If he gets the upper hand and kills me, then the Philistines will all become your slaves and vice versa."
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting what he was trying to do?
Yeah, he was trying to, I think he had an unfair advantage, or he thought he had an unfair advantage.
Sure.
Because he knew he was, you know, the biggest guy around, and he could take on anybody. And, you know, it would be like, swatting a fly to him.
Absolutely.
It would be nothing. And he knew that. So, he was going to say, come on, you know, send your best one out.
Send your best
one. Why should he risk his friends and brothers' lives, you know, and,
right.
and you know, the people that are with him, when he knew he could...
He could take them.
He could take this army on himself, one-on-one, no problem.
Do you know, I never saw this till right this minute as you're reading this, but the fact that he wanted to pick them off one at a time is very interesting, because in Scripture, Jesus teaches the power of unity.
Right.
The power of prayer, united prayer.
Right.
You know, we're going to have a special prayer meeting Wednesday night after Bible study this week. And when people get together, the Word says we're two or three are gathered together. In that Greek word, it means make a symphony.
Right.
Make a harmonize. And I love it when in the office before we start the service that the praise band is in there with me and we are singing a cappella.
Right.
And the harmony that comes is so cool, isn't
right.
it?
It is.
And the harmony, the symphony that we make united is huge. And the power of united prayer. And Goliath is a type of Satan.
And he's wanting to pick them off one at a time.
There you go.
He's trying to separate.
Yes.
And pick them off one at a time. And you see that sort of stuff happening like in churches all around the world, you know, where you may have people that are united and something happens to one person and Satan will really attack that one person.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe they, you know, drop off. And then the next attack is on the next person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's so important, you know, as a church body, that we all we pray together and we stay united, not only
Amen.
In mind and heart, but in purpose as well.
Absolutely. Vision, purpose.
Right.
That's what our service today was really all about. As
mm-hmm.
it turned out, it went a different direction than I thought it was going to go. But I never even saw this point till right this minute, Alice, that, you know, if the devil can pick us off one by one, then we will never be as strong as when Ecclesiastes says a twofold cord is not easily broken,
right.
threefold cord. You know, when there's two or three, you know, wow, the power of prayer. When there's a whole church body, where there's a family united in prayer, it's amazing what happens. And Goliath knew this. He was just saying, come on, bring me the strongest and best you have. Interestingly enough, this went on and on and on. And in verse 11, when Saul and his troops heard the Philistines' challenge, they were terrified and they lost all hope. They lost all hope. Yeah. So, I mean, all hope. I mean,
right.
What does that do to you? I mean,
that's it's a scary situation, because not only are you afraid of the situation that's happening around you,
right.
but your hope of it getting better is gone.
It's gone.
So then what do you have to rely on?
Ooh. Pastor Jim, did you just call in?
I just did.
Yeah, we're glad you did. Hey, Alice and I are sitting here.
Hi, PJ.
Hey.
PJ's a great name for him, don't you think? Yeah. Well, you know, did you just hear what we just said about the power of unity here?
I think I missed that.
Just the fact that Goliath was calling and wanting to fight one by one. It says here, you know, he said, give me your best fighter, send him out here, you know, and then if I win, you all become our slaves. And if you win, we'll be your slaves. And Alice and I were just discussing about the power of unity, that he wasn't calling for the whole Israelite army to come after him. You know, he wanted them one by one to pick him off, just like the devil tries to do us.
Exactly. That's all he, you know, he just wanted to separate them and as big as he was, he could have picked them off one by one, I'm sure.
Right. Absolutely. We're having a hard time with your reception.
Sorry.
Okay. It's like cutting in and out or something. What do you think, Cedric? Try again.
Maybe a cell phone. Maybe sort of sounds like a cell phone cutting out.
It is a cell phone.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it is just like Satan to try and divide us, because we're more easily defeated if we're by ourselves.
Yes, we are. Exactly. And so I find it interesting, Pastor Jim and Alice, that none of the Israelites took the challenge. Nobody.
Well, they'd all lost hope. They were terrified of the giant, of Goliath.
They sure were. Go ahead.
Well, and, you know, it kind of goes back to what God told Samuel. You know, look upon how men see things, remember? And,
yes,
you know,
yes.
When he was going to anoint David.
Right.
Don't look at how men see things.
Right.
Because they were looking that way. And it kind of goes back to when Moses sent the scouts to view the land of Israel.
Exactly.
And,
yes.
You know, they said, we saw the giants in the land, and we look like grasshoppers in their eyes.
That's right. Yeah. And all they could think when they went into, to Canaan, was how huge those guys were. You know, they couldn't even see that God could help them defeat that army. And that's the same way here. Goliath, you know, just was overpowering, don't you think, Alice?
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a scary situation when you're looking at that and you're terrified, and you're what you feel is your source of hope is just diminished.
Right.
It's a bad situation to be in. It's bad to feel that way.
Right. Absolutely. And so that's what was going on here. But in verse 12 of 1 Samuel 17, if you just tuned in, we're talking about David and Goliath today.
I love this part.
What a great story. And in the Message Bible, it's the next sentence is only two words. And in the Message Bible, it says, enter David. Enter David after, now, the whole army, Israelite army, has lost hope. Pastor Jim, you made that point a minute ago. What do you think about that? Enter David.
Well, you know, all of a sudden, here comes the hero, and
yes,
somebody
yes.
who, I mean, I look at the reaction of the army. I look at the reaction of David's brother a little bit later.
Right.
They were, you know, the old time word would be they were just walking in the flesh.
Right.
Because they saw the enemy, and that's all they saw was the enemy. If you know. Things that David said a little bit later on, he knew where he stood with God, and this, as he kept saying, this uncircumcised Philistine meant nothing to him.
Right, right. Well, I also think that David knew he was in this situation for such a time as this.
Right.
You know, like Queen Esther, was there such a time as this that her uncle said to her, you're here for a reason. You got something you got to get done. And we find enter David into this scenario. He did not, it wasn't his idea to go to the army.
But
isn't that interesting?
It wasn't his idea. And, you know, this was all in God's timing. And it amazes me how God works in this way. But I see it like David gave a fresh set of eyes to the situation.
Oh, that's good.
These guys had been listening to this for like 40 days. 40 days.
Morning and night.
Morning and night. You know, this giant was coming out, challenging them and making them feel less than.
Yes.
And you know, the 40... first day, in comes the enter David, and
right.
he's got a fresh eyes on the situation, and he looks around and goes, y'all, are, you know, okay, so he's big, but, you know, he's just a Philistine. You know, I mean, he had to give them this fresh insight for them to say, okay, well, maybe, you know.
Right. Isn't that interesting? Okay, enter David, and then we find out he was the same David who 8 years ago had been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the second king of Israel. But at this time, he still is not king. He's just David, you know?
The shepherd boy.
Yeah, he's still the shepherd boy.
Eight years later.
Mm-hmm. Boy, what does that say, Pastor Jim, to us about so often we're given a word from God? And we, you know, we feel like it is for right that moment, okay? And it so often is for another moment in time.
fun. And it, you know, I think sometimes God gives words and for times in the future, and there's still got to be some prep, maybe some preparation. You know, there's got to be some, God has to do some work in us in order to make that, whatever the word is, come to pass.
Absolutely.
And, you know, David was anointed king, and even now at this time with Goliath, he wasn't king, and he still had to wait another probably, I don't know, 19 years yet or more to be king.
It's a while.
So, yeah, so it you know, sometimes, and, you know, you look at David, this was his entrance, if you will, into Israel's history.
Right here.
By killing the giant. And yet, you know, you figure by now he's 21, 22. Well, he didn't become king until he was 40.
40, right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's still
a long time to wait.
You know, running away from King Saul. But all that was to fashion David into the greatest king that Israel would ever have.
Oh, absolutely. So, in reality, he was probably anointed at age 13, don't you think? 12, 13?
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very young. Just a little boy.
Right.
Really. And yet, here he is now, about 21-ish, 22, someplace in there. And he has found himself in a situation of not of his own making. His father said, go to the front lines of the battle. Take your brother some banana bread. No, I think it was it was bread, but and cheese and all kinds of stuff, all these goodies. Go and take some stuff to your brothers. And so, you know, I love David's attitude because we see his heart right there. That's what this series has been about, where your heart is. We see David's.
Right.
David's attitude is, okay, sure, I'll go,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be put in harm's way at age 20 or 21. He's not a soldier. Right. He's simply a shepherd boy.
Right.
You know? And yet, go ahead, Alice. He goes anyway.
He obeys. He does go. He not only does he go, but he wakes up early and goes.
Isn't that cool?
And that tells me he was excited about what was happening. And I'm sure at that age, all of his older brothers have gone off to war.
Right.
You know, and at that age, you're, you know, for a young man, he's probably, you know, saying, ooh, you know, I want to be part of that. You
right.
know, so I'm sure he was excited to be able to go up there and, you know, see what was going on with the battle and all that. But he was also being very obedient.
Right.
Because he didn't just take off and go.
Right.
He made sure that his flock was taken care of.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. So he, you know, he made those arrangements. He took care of the business that needed to be taken care
yes.
of so that he could go and do what he had been asked to do.
Responsibility.
Right.
Mm. With authority comes responsibility. You have to do it the other way around. No, it's the other way around. With responsibility comes authority. Pastor Jim, when David enters this scene, like Alice was just saying, possibly God had put it in his heart that something eventful was going to happen. But I doubt very much that God said, you're going up to kill Goliath.
Right.
I don't think that was the
right.
case
yeah.
at all.
No, I don't think he knew. I think he just figured he's going to take supplies to his brothers. And that may be all he knew. And then I think that makes his response even more, I mean, show actually more of David's heart. Because he didn't know about Goliath, and then he hears about Goliath, and the first words out of his mouth are, well, okay, when you haven't killed him, why? You know,
exactly.
You haven't defeated him, why? You know, David, he just, you know, he, and of course, you know, his brother's reaction was to call him names and belittle him.
Right. They
and,
were putting
know,
him down
I can't help,
big time.
Well, I can't help thinking that the brother, Eliab, was a little jealous.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, here comes somebody, this little, the runt of the family, who really spiritually shows him up.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, human that Elliot was, he didn't like that. He resorts to name calling.
Well, you know, he was the oldest brother, so he probably thought he should have been anointed.
Well, that's
the next.
That's what I was about to say. He was probably a little sore about the whole anointing thing anyway.
right.
He's still got a
holding a grudge.
Yeah, I mean, really. And so now here's his youngest brother, who's this little guy, comes up to the battle. And really, he's just supposed to be a messenger. He's just supposed to come check on the brothers, bring all the supplies, you know, bring the brownies and the, you know, all the good desserts.
Goodies, yeah.
Chocolate chip cookies and everything to the brothers. And
peanut butter cookies.
Oh, yes.
Those were good.
Oh, my. Yes, we had peanut butter cookies this morning. And David, I love what you said a minute ago, Alice. He got up at crack of dawn, you know,
right.
And that kind of goes into our new series, which I don't know what God's going to do with all that. But the new series starting Wednesday is going to be morning, noon, and night. And it's going to incorporate some of all of this that we're talking about. And I don't know to what extent yet. I'm just hearing it from God. But Pastor Jim, don't you think it's interesting that he didn't wait around till the mid-afternoon I'll just wait till the sun goes down. It's a little cooler before I go up there. He got right up and went, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was quick to obey.
Yes, quick to obey. Says a lot about him.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those opportune moments because I mentioned this morning, and I feel like this is significant. God did not send him up. And of course, we know that his father sent him up. But God did not have Jesse call David to go up to the battle until after those 40 days were completed.
Right. Yeah.
What do you think of that, Alice? Because, I mean, 40 is the number of trials
and tribulations. Yeah.
Yes.
Trials and testing.
Yes.
I think it's interesting. It just shows how this is all in God's timing. Jesse could have sent David up there at any time to deliver food
right.
and whatever, you know, he felt that the sons needed up there. But it wasn't until that 41st day that David actually went. So I think God really, you know, this is proof that God really has an understanding of the timing here on earth.
Oh.
And what is needed.
Exactly.
And
when
it's needed. And I don't think that, you know, we understand that at all, because we see this section of
right.
of our lives, and
right.
we are interactive with other people, and we have other people, you know, in our circle or what of you know, acquaintance or whatever. But we only see life from our perspective.
Isn't that
where
true?
God has a completely different perspective, and he not only sees what we see, he sees what the person sitting next to us sees. He sees
yes.
what the person down the road that we don't even know
right.
sees and is going through. And he is amazingly working all of this stuff out, you know, so that it's all going to be for his glory in the end. And I don't know. It just boggles my mind when you think of it in that kind of concept.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Pastor Jim, you want to comment on that? Because I think that's a valid point, a huge point, especially with all of us who get impatient with God's timing.
Yeah, I think we get impatient with the testing.
Yes.
Now, that time of testing. And I think, you know, what you'd said earlier about, you know, they lost all hope.
Right.
That happened after the 40 days. And I think that's another reason David came on the scene then.
Right.
Because they had hit, as we would say, you know, you'd say in 12-step groups, they'd hit their bottom.
Right.
They had lost all hope. And you know, and again, it's just David's heart is so amazing. Because remember, he hit bottom back in toward the end of 1 Samuel. What did he do? He turned to God.
Right.
Remember? I mean, they were talking about stoning David.
1 Samuel 30. We talked about that
yeah.
a couple weeks ago. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David had reached his own bottom, but what did he do? He did the right thing. He turned to God. David made himself strong in the Lord.
Right.
The Israelites, however, made themselves weak in Goliath.
Right.
You know?
True.
Weak in Goliath instead of strong in the Lord.
Yeah, and so, you know, God's timing is perfect.
Right.
And here comes David. And
enter David.
Probably not anybody's choice to go out and kill a giant.
It's not on your bucket list. Pastor Jim, that's not on your bucket list of things to do before you die?
To kill a giant? No.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
Not a literal one, at least.
Right. But yet, it was God's so perfect timing. And I really think this is a huge point that Jesse did not send David up there at the 15th day or the 20th day. He went perfectly on time, exactly when he was needed. And that's those Kairos moments. And I've been mentioning this concept the last two or three weeks. I think this is a huge part of this whole series, mm-hmm. that God's trying to teach us that there are exact moments when he's wanting to get something done. And a Kairos is K-A-I-R-O-S, which means God's strategic, opportune moment. That's a lot. That's a mouthful.
Right. I mean, I think about this so many times that, you know, we may invite somebody to church, or we may invite someone to listen to the radio show.
Sure.
Or things like that. And for whatever reason, they don't. They say, oh, yeah, I'm going to, but they don't. And then the time comes when they do.
Yes.
And to me, that's God's timing, because
yes.
God knows, you know, you can invite them, but God knows when the timing's right for that person.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, yeah, and it's like when people get saved, you know, God knows the time when their heart's going to be ready.
Right. Yes.
You know.
And yeah, go ahead.
You know, well, and that's when, you know, when they're ready, then that's when God will move. Because, and it's like sometimes I know, you know, Pastor, you and I have the background in a particular evangelistic group on college campuses.
Right.
And we did all that door-to-door stuff. And
right.
a lot of times it was frustrating because, you know, it just wasn't the Kairos. It wasn't the Kairos time
right.
for any of this.
It was just our time trying to make it happen.
Right.
And, you know, Pastor Jim, the older I get, and Alice, the more I realize how important the exact right time is in all things in our lives.
Right.
You know, because we can push things ahead or we can lag behind and not seize that moment. You know, carpe diem, seize the day,
yeah.
you know. We can miss it. We can actually miss God's opportune moment for our miracle.
Right.
You know, and I love this. David did willingly go up when his father told him to go. He went and he seized the moment and he looked over the situation. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. Pastor Jim, can you stay with us a little while longer?
A few more minutes, I think. I think my battery's about to go, but I'll stay on as long as I can.
All right. This song by Mercy Me, The Hurt and the Healer. Song. Were you writing down some more words, Alice?
the chorus of that song is just so...
It's amazing.
It really touched me. I'm alive even though a part of me has died. I've been there.
Right.
I've had that hurt.
Right.
And I've felt where a part of me has just died.
Right.
And, you know, I've gotten through that. And
right.
I know I've gotten through that only by the grace of God. And it says, I'm alive, even though a part of me has died. You take my heart and breathe it back to life. That's exactly
Ooh.
What he does.
Isn't
That's
that
exactly
the truth?
What he does. I fall into your arms open wide. And there's so many times that I, you know, things are going on in my life or whatever. And I know God is just there with his arms open wide, just waiting for me to run into his arms so he can just pick me up and give me the hug that I need and to let me know it's all okay. And then it says, and the hurt and the healer cry, which means God, to me, it means that God's crying with us. When we hurt, mm-hmm. when we hurt, have that deep hurt that it actually feels like a part of you has died inside.
Right, right.
I really believe God's crying with us.
Yes.
Because he's that compassionate and he loves us that much. He doesn't like to see us hurt like that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good stuff. That's a great song. Mm-hmm. And it's about revival, reviving our faith,
you know,
in him and what he's going to do. And, I mean, this is what needed to happen here in this scene with David and Goliath, because all of these Israelites had lost hope.
Oh, yeah.
They had all lost hope.
They were all at that point where they felt a part of them had died.
Yes.
Because they, you know, they've got this overwhelming fear of this giant.
They were terrified.
Yeah.
Yes. Pastor Jim, are you still there with us?
I'm here.
Well, yeah, comment on that. Do you see the plight of the Israelites at this point?
And I really like, Alice, what you said about the song. It's true, because God, even in Scripture, says, in all their hurting, I was hurt.
Right.
You know, he feels it when he feels our pain. He feels, he feels what we feel.
Right.
And, I think that day God was hurting because he was feeling the hopelessness mm-hmm. of the Israelites.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And,
you know, and
go ahead.
And again, enter David. And
enter David.
God, God felt it, but he knew that he had a plan.
God always has a plan, doesn't he? Enter David. I love that. And so often we are the one that needs to enter the scene in somebody's life.
Right.
Right.
You want to comment on that, Pastor Jim? Because I really believe this is the greater picture here, that God wants us to be challenged today to be that one that enters a situation at work, at home, with a relative, or just somebody that we see in a store that we don't even know, you know?
Right.
That we are to enter that scene with a willing heart to be able to be of service to God for that person, you know?
Right, and it calls for wisdom, because, you know, you can walk you have to walk a fine line with that. I mean, you have to be sensitive to God's leading.
Right.
Because you just don't want to go out and, you know, cast the pearls before swine.
Absolutely.
Because they're just going to turn and trample you and eat you up.
No, it has to be in God's timing.
It
really does.
It has to be in God's timing, and that calls for us to be prayerful, to be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. When God gives you that little nudge, then just
you know, move with it.
Absolutely.
You know, then you can, you know, some people I know are just so overly cautious that they want God to come down and point a finger at the person they're supposed to talk to before they'll do anything.
Right.
You know, some people are like that, and then some people just, you know, kind of run out, kind of do machine gun evangelism, as it were.
Bowl them all over.
And right.
I know, I tend to look for the flashing neon sign.
And another one, a confirmation after that, too. Well, I think a lot of us by nature are cautious. Mm-hmm. We don't want to invade somebody else's privacy,
right,
or their territory, or, you know, their pain even. We just don't want to invade it. We don't want to ask questions or say, is there something I can pray with you about?
Right. Well, and I found that in situations like that, there's nothing that says that you can't be praying to God about the situation yourself.
Right.
I know that there was an incident yesterday evening. I was doing laundry and walking, you know, going back and forth between the apartment and the laundry area.
Uh-huh.
And there was a gentleman in the complex who was acting a little oddly.
Okay.
And I was a little cautious. I didn't feel comfortable approaching him.
Mm-hmm.
But I did feel comfortable praying for him.
Good.
And I had to walk by him a couple times going back and forth. So, you know, when I did, I would be praying for him. And when I saw him today, he seemed a little better. I don't know what the situation is,
right,
or whatever, but I would, you know, I'd like to believe that God was working in that situation.
Good point. Excellent point. Well, and here we have David come into this situation where there's fear abounds. People are terrified. Everybody thinks they're going to die. You know, they see no way out of their situation. But David comes in with a real attitude of, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Peace. It's all okay. What's the matter with you people? You know, Pastor Jim, do you want to comment on that? Because I love David's attitude here. You like to quote that, don't you? Who does he think he is anyway?
Yeah, who does he think, you know, Eliab said, who do you think you are, you little shepherd? And, you know,
right,
but here David comes in and says, okay. And his confidence is amazing. What will the king do for the man that kills the giant?
Right.
You know, what will he give the man?
Yeah.
It's like, for David, it was a foregone conclusion. And I don't know at that point if he knew it was going to be him. I think he had an inkling that
it was. I think so at that point, don't you?
I think he was just saying, you know, okay, God's bigger than this giant.
Right.
And so here's my confidence is not, well, you know, he says later, you know, to Goliath himself, you come at me with a spear and a sword, I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts.
Right.
David knew where his confidence was. It wasn't in, you know, the arm of the flesh, to quote an old hymn.
Right.
The arm of flesh will fail you.
Right.
But it was in the name of the Lord. That was David's confidence.
So totally. Absolutely. And I, you know, when David is questioning what's going to happen here to the person who does this, maybe he didn't realize it was him, but he had to be, at this point, pretty suspicious that it was because, you know, he's very confident. Nobody else is.
Right.
Nobody, everybody else is scared to death. You know, he's confident. He wants to know, what's the reward? What do I get here?
Right.
You know, what happens, you know? But, and he must have known that if he started talking like that, kind of with some bravado, that he would be hauled off to King Saul. You know, you got to think that nobody else was talking like David was talking. Hey, what do I get, you know, if I kill this giant, you know? And I think, Pastor Jim, we've got to get to this point that we are saying, hey, God, I know that there's blessings in store for me when I choose to fight the enemy. And when I don't sit down and just wallow in my mess, but when I stand up and boldly say, okay, God, what's going to happen here? You know, I'm going to go out against the devil. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to sit here and rot. I'm not going to sit here in my pity party. I'm going to go boldly. So what's going to happen here, God? What you doing with me? You know, and God always says, you got my favor. You got my goodness. You got all this, you know? Go ahead. Pastor Jim, you want to comment on that? And then we'll get Alice's take on that.
Well, you know, that just, you know, brings kind of a thought to mind that, yeah, David, I think, knew, or at least started to have an idea that it was going to be him. And yet even so in that, he could have gotten kind of cocky, but he didn't.
Right.
And I think sometimes we have to watch as believers. We can't get cocky with the devil.
Right.
You know, because once you get cocky, you begin to turn your gaze off of God and kind
this
of on yourself. Well, aren't I crafty?
You know,
look how I defeated Satan. You know, look how I,
right.
you know, look
Good
how
point.
I did it this time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it takes wisdom because you can't.
Right.
You know, you want to make sure if you're gonna do this that, you know, when that's not a question of if, but when we go to battle, we want to make sure that we are prepared, that we have on the armor, that we're prayed up, that, you know, everything is in readiness.
Right.
Because, you know, Satan, he'll know where to jab us.
Exactly.
He'll know the weak place in our armor.
Right. Absolutely. He does. Good point. Alice, did you want to comment on all that?
Well, I know that, you know, when David was brought up before Saul and Saul asked him, you know, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind?
Right.
You know, this guy has been, you know, in the fighting business since, I think it says before you were born. Right.
Right. He does say that. Yeah. That's the family business.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, his four brothers. They've been, you know, fighting wars and battles since, you know, before David was a twinkle in his father's eye.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And, it's just, David brought up the fact that he had different experience.
Mm-hmm.
His experiences had been in what God had done for him.
Exactly.
You know, how he had, yeah, he's fought battles. There have been different battles, and God's been behind him
right.
the whole way. You know, fighting, I think, a bear and a lion
and all
this stuff.
Yeah.
And David knew that he would not have been able to do those things if it was not God backing him. And so
exactly.
I think he's entering into this with a different attitude than anyone else would have. Anyone
right.
else would have looked at their own history. Oh, you know, my father fought in this war and this battle, and
oh,
I
yeah.
fought in this war
yeah.
and this battle, and I defeated so-and-so, and I defeated
right.
so-and-so.
Or our family has money, we have position,
right.
we have, yeah,
right.
good point.
So therefore I can do this
right.
because my family history shows that I can do this. As opposed to what David was showing was that, you know, yeah, I did these things, but it was God behind me that was doing it. It was God that was doing it.
Yeah, the lion and the bear.
And that I couldn't have done these things but for God's grace.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Pastor Jim, do you want to comment on lions and tigers and bears? Oh, my.
Oh, my. Well, yeah, I Alice, that's such a good point because, you know, David says, look, God did this for me. He'll do it for me against the giant.
Right.
Right.
You know, these are the battles I fought. And, you know, here I'm a kid and I still, you know, beat a lion and a bear because God was with me, and God's with me now.
Right.
But I think it's important to note that David had to go through those battles before he could battle the giant. And we all have battles that God puts us into, you know, I think smaller ones, to make us ready for the bigger battles.
Absolutely.
And I think Jim, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think this is, you know, really important to put in here. This is why it's so important to journal.
Yes.
So that you can write down the things that God has done through you, the accomplishments, the things that God has done, so that you can go back and you can look at that and say, you know what? God helped me here. God answered this prayer. God did this. God did that. So why can't I, you know, come out of this depression? Because God can bring me out of it because he's done this and this and this and this and that.
So
why can't I be healed of cancer? Because look, God's already done this, this, and this and that.
The lion and the bear journal.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
The past things that have happened that we've seen the victories.
Right.
I like that. And you know what? I do that. I journal. I have been doing that now for a few years. And it's amazing because in fact, I had my journals, all of them, with me on the plane and this week, taking time to go back and just turn to something and see what God had done and how he had pulled me out of that mess.
Right.
I totally agree. PJ, you want to comment on that?
Well, I think it's really important. And, you know, in a sense, I don't know if the ancient, you know, journal, but I'm reminded of that one time when the Israelites won a battle when Samuel was still alive. And remember, they put up the stone, Ebenezer, a stone of help.
Yes, yes.
Because they said, thus far, to this point, God has helped us.
Right.
It was kind of their boundary stone as far as, you know, taking the land. This much land God has given us.
Amen.
Right.
We need to remember these times in our lives. Set up a memorial. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Woo, good stuff. Are you staying or going, Pastor Jim?
I probably need to go. My battery's about to die.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today, Alan and I, Alice and I. Alan.
It's my brother. How did you get in this?
That was my ex-husband. I don't know how those guys got in here. But anyway, Alice and I will continue on. Thank you, Pastor Jim.
Oh, anyway, it's always a pleasure.
All right. Talk to you later. So we're glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we're into a nice discussion on 1 Samuel chapter 17, David and Goliath. Hope you can stay with us during the next hour. And it's station ID.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
All right, station identification, and welcome to all of you listening in Little Rock area and all the different places that you might be listening today to Living the Good Life. You can always catch any of our shows that you've missed on our website. They're there indefinitely, probably till Jesus comes. What do you think, Alice?
Sounds good.
Yeah. And they're there. BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. Go and find out what, or just listen and study the Word. Yeah. It's a good teaching tool, don't you think?
It is.
Great music.
It is. And it's, you know, it's a good way to get to know you, Pastor Marcia, yeah. Because, you know, so much of your life is on those recordings.
Yes. Somebody here at the station, I won't mention the name, said to me recently, I started to say something, explain something about myself. And she says, I listen to the show. I know. I know your life history. I guess it is, you know, but it's just, it's life, you know.
Right.
I mean, we are on show number 271, Alice.
Wow.
Is that amazing? So, yeah, I've been doing a whole lot of talking for nigh on 6 years here on this radio station. So, yeah, people do. They do get to know us.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing because we are just who we say we are, mm-hmm. you know. And we all struggle with things. You know, we all struggle with issues. You know, we struggle with things like these guys did here in this story. And David, his past victories, that's what our point is. His past victories have seen him through to a place of confidence in God,
right.
Which is what we're going to talk about this hour. And, oh, we got some good scriptures for that. So we're glad you've joined us today. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 10 with the Mighty Praise Band, of which Alice Mize right here sings lead and does
back in
a great
the corner.
Job. Yeah, but you do a great job. You really do. And great music, wonderful music. We talked about it last hour, but I don't know. You can't even say enough about our praise band because we went for a period of time without music, didn't we?
I remember when I first came to Beacon of Hope in 2008.
Right.
We were CDs
right.
and the overhead projector.
Because we had just had a truck run through
That's
our building
right.
in Dunedin.
And it was church in a box.
It was church in a box. We had to make do. We had everything in storage that could be salvaged, and it was like, okay, we were basically kind of starting over,
yeah.
you know, and we didn't have a live band.
I know when I walked in that first Sunday, I was looking and I was like, this isn't exactly like the picture on the website.
Right.
And there was, I know Marla was there running
right.
the CDs and the overhead, and Pastor Jim was there. He
right.
had just come in like a few weeks before I showed up.
Right.
And then there was maybe one or two other people there. It was
very
slim
small.
Pickings, but you know what? The Holy Spirit really moved in that
Woo.
Service. I mean, the praise and worship, just even though it was just off of CDs, was awesome.
It was.
I was right at home. I was like, oh, yeah, this is the place.
This is the place. And you stayed and stayed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have a great praise band. But that was, again, reaching out and believing in prayer
oh, yeah.
for that to happen.
Yeah.
And it took a while, but it happened.
It did happen. And, you know, it's amazing how one by one, and couples actually, would walk through the door.
Right.
And suddenly they have these talents
right.
that, you know,
didn't
like,
even know.
We didn't even know they had them, and they didn't know we needed them, you
right.
know. And it's so awesome because we have a lead guitarist who also
right.
does lead vocals. We have Madeline, our drummer, is there.
Right.
We have a bass guitarist.
Yes. Great.
Awesome.
Ashley.
You know, we have a pianist,
yes.
you know, and we've got the vocals and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, who would have thought that just a few years ago we were listening to CDs?
But that is a testimony to God. To us getting together on one page.
Right.
Being together in agreement for the vision that God had given us.
Right.
That we would have a praise band restored
yeah.
after all the devastation that had happened. And yet we just hung in there believing and, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. So we welcome you Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock to Beacon of Hope. Wednesday night Bible study. Fun time, don't you think, in the Word?
I love the Bible study because that's my opportunity to ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, it's even though I have been known to raise my hand during a Sunday sermon and ask a question because I just have to.
Right.
But in Wednesday night, I won't say it's a free for all, but it's, you know, if you have
everybody
a question,
has a chance.
Ask.
Sure.
If you have a question, ask. And we, you know, I know Pastor and Pastor Jim will do their best to get that question answered. And it's very interactive. And, you know, people say, well, you know, this is how I, you know, this works, how I apply it.
Right.
And it helps other people who really may not understand a certain concept to say, oh, okay, I get it now.
Right.
You know, and it's great. And then, you know, the opportunity to pray together as well, because we have the prayer meeting.
Yeah, it's just great.
That's good as well. Yeah.
It's really good. And we've been studying the book of Psalms. Mm-hmm. Has that been fun for you? Have you enjoyed it?
I have absolutely loved it. My little Bible right here. This is the one that I carry in my purse with me.
Yes.
It is all marked up in the Psalms area.
Isn't it great?
It's just like all marked up with little notes and highlights. And we just went through each Psalm and we basically went around the room and said, okay, Psalm number one, which verses speak to you?
Right.
And you know, and we would just go with that. And it was so awesome. I've never been in a Bible study like that.
I've never done that.
That was wonderful.
32 years of ministry, never done the whole book of Psalms. We really kind of didn't quite finish the end, but we're going to bring
but it was so good.
Oh,
it was so good to see him do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we mark them and we talk them.
We talk about
it. We talk
them.
The word,
yeah.
You know, to each other. So Wednesday nights at 7, you're welcome. Starting with prayer meeting at 6:15. Bring your dinner from work. A lot of people do. We set up tables and it's relaxed and it's fun.
Yeah.
Casual, of course. So just come as you are. Listen to this song and then we're going to get back to our discussion. This one is Rain in Me.
With all of my weakness, I come.
great song. I love that song.
I do like that song very much.
You writing something down?
I tend to do that when, you know, a certain line or whatever hits home.
Yeah.
And what I wrote down is, your joy in me is everlasting.
Ooh, good.
I will never be the same.
Mm. Praise God. That's good.
I like that.
Savior, save me. Mm-hmm. Healer, heal me. Praise God. You know, Alice, we were talking about the changes that have happened. We started this ministry in 2001 and had some years where a lot of people, God was doing a lot of things. And then circumstances happened. People moved away, jobs, depression. I mean, really, the recession hit.
Right.
Some hard times hit, and we lost several people. And then in 08, when the truck ran through the building, we went through some difficult times. We really did. And people kind of lost interest, and, you know, it was difficult times financially and everything. But God has always provided for us. And we've always been able somehow to to meet our expenses.
Right.
You're our treasurer. You know we do. I mean, there are times that it's better than others. But
I mean, I know there's some times when I walk into church saying, okay, we got to write the rent check. And I've looked at the bank balance, you know, before I came to church. And don't know what's going to happen here, Lord, but I know you're going to figure it out. And then we get the offering in, and it's more than enough to meet the need.
Right. It's just amazing what
God's
amazing. And you can be a financial partner with us, and you can also be a prayer partner with us. Financial partner, just go to our website and go to PayPal, and you can give towards this radio ministry. That would be wonderful. Prayer ministry really was originated in your heart, Alice, in 2008.
It was. We would do prayer requests verbally at church.
Right.
And I know I would write them down, and I was like, I wouldn't necessarily go back to them as often as I wanted to.
Right.
And I was like, there's got to be a better way. And God really put on my heart that there needed to be a better way to do this. And so I brought you some suggestions and hoping that you would find someone that could take this on. And you said, go with it. I'm like, great.
I did find somebody. It was you. God gave you the vision for that ministry.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what he does. He puts things in our hearts. You know, and you're an intercessor. You're a prayer, you know, and you understand the value. You can send any request to us. You don't have to be a part of or a member of Beacon of Hope to use our prayer ministry. People use it from all over the world that are different. Just prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries, NZIES.com.
Right.
And if you want to be on that prayer team, you also just write prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries.com, and we'll put you on their list. So you'll get the requests and you can pray with us.
Yeah. And what happens is when the prayer requests come into the prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries.com, there's a handful of us that actually get those requests. And as time permits, you know, we will get not only send that prayer request out, but include a prayer.
Yeah.
So that everyone can be, that's on the prayer list, can be getting the same prayer and be praying together in unity. And that, you know, we were talking about how Satan likes to pick people off one by one. And I was thinking how that relates to our prayer team, because that sense of unity is there, and we're praying together over a certain situation, and that's going to stop Satan right in his tracks.
Absolutely.
He'll be trying to pick somebody off one by one or whatever, but then you've got the unity of the prayer team together, and it's a powerful thing. We have seen so many awesome things happen.
Haven't we? So many answers to prayer.
Yeah, so many answers to prayer.
And also, Alice, along that point, so often the devil does try to pick people off, but when we are with an attitude of really loving each other, and wanting to be in agreement on a prayer request or whatever, the devil really, he takes a back seat.
Right.
I mean, over and over again. And we see that here in the story of David and Goliath.
Right.
Because David is bold enough to go to King Saul and say, you know, what's going on here? You know, don't give up hope. I'm in verse 31 of 1 Samuel 17. When David is called into Saul's presence, who is the king of Israel at that time, David, the first thing it says he says to King Saul in verse 32 of 1 Samuel 17 is, don't give up hope.
Right.
I mean, that was the whole thing right there. I'm ready to go and fight this Philistine.
Right.
Wow.
It's almost, you know, it reminds me so much of Jesus, how Jesus would, especially after his resurrection, he would appear in a room and say, peace be with you.
Right.
You know, so David comes up before the king.
Right.
The king. And says, hey, don't give up hope.
Don't give up hope.
You know, I mean, who has the guts to say that, you know?
But kings get disheartened also, you know. And here he is. He boldly goes in there. And Saul says, you can't go and fight this Philistine. Well, there it is again. The devil's always going to say we can't do something, right? That we're not strong enough. We're not smart enough. We're not
good enough. We're not whatever. Yeah.
Right. You can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced. There's his liabilities. Too young and inexperienced.
Right.
And he's been at this fighting business since before you were born. That's what you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
This was the family business. Goliath and four brothers. Mm-hmm. So there were five of them that were huge. It was a family business. That's what they did. They fought battles and fought. And then we referred to it earlier. It's found in verse 34 of 1 Samuel 17, where David says, I've been taking care of my father's sheep all my life, but he talks about the lion and the bear,
right?
Which we talked about in the last hour, and how those were preparation times, weren't they?
Right. They were. They were getting him ready for the big battle ahead.
Right.
If he hadn't had that experience of God being with him while he fought the lion, while he fought the bear, he would probably be shaking in his boots too.
Oh, yeah.
But he knew that God had been with him during those times. He knew that it was God's strength and God's shield that had protected him from the claws and the teeth and getting hurt. That he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was going to be with him in this.
You know, he did have to be aggressive here.
Yes, he did.
And in Psalm 18, there's the scripture we used last week on the show, Psalm 18, where David just says, I pursued my enemies. I overtook them. I'm going to run there real quick so people, if they want to take notes, can write this down because I love this. In Psalm 18, let me see. I've got a different Bible here in front of me. Let's go to the NIV, and we'll show you the verses where David, these are the words of David, and he reveals his attitude. And his attitude is one of perseverance. It's one of pushing through. It's verse 37 of Psalm 18. David says, I pursued my enemies and overtook them. Now, those could be the lion, the bear, and in this case, Goliath. Mm-hmm. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me, he's talking to God, with strength for battle. You made my adversaries bow at my feet. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. And then he just goes on and talks about, you know, he can leap over a wall, you know, all that because mm-hmm. he was aggressive. You see the aggressive nature, you know, of David. And then I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 10 before we go back to 1 Samuel 17. Because Paul wrote Hebrews, probably, we feel. Verse 35 of Hebrews 10, gotta say, is one of my favorite little sections of Scripture. Hebrews 10:35, and here's what Paul says. So do not throw away your confidence. Confidence.
Confidence.
Confidence. And David certainly had confidence here when he says to Saul, wait a minute, I've already beaten and killed a lion and a bear with my bare hands, you know. So Paul says here in Hebrews 10:35, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere.
Mm.
Key word right there,
yep.
Persevere. So that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. My righteous one will live by faith. Righteousness does not mean perfection. Righteousness means being in right standing with God.
Right.
And he said, that's how we're to live. We're to live by faith. And you see that in this story of David and Goliath.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
totally.
David did not have to go up to Saul and say, you know, send me.
Right.
You know, he didn't have to.
He could have just stood back there and watched what was going to happen. And who knows? Maybe this would have continued the taunting by Goliath,
right,
who's a type of Satan who continually comes and tries to taunt us, accuse us, condemn us, tell us we're not good enough, that we're not spiritual enough, that we're not strong enough. Here he was telling David, you're just young and inexperienced. He was doing that through the mouth of Saul,
right,
his king. Which he, you know, fortunately, David rejected that. He did not go along with Saul's evaluation of him. And he said, I've been a shepherd, yeah. I've been tending sheep. And whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, wring its neck and kill it. Go for the throat. I'd grab it by the throat.
Yeah, I thought that was really awesome, the parallel that you gave in church about
how... Go ahead.
How,
I already taught it once today, yes. So you go ahead.
Well, about how, you know, we need to grab Satan by the throat.
Yes.
And stop that nonsense that he fills our heads with. You know, those old tapes.
Yes.
The, you know, of how you're not good enough, how you're not strong enough, how you're not good looking enough, how,
right.
You know, whatever. You're not talented enough. You don't, you know, you're not gifted in this area, whatever. You know, that's baloney.
Exactly.
You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Absolutely.
That's everything.
Everything.
You know, if God leads me to it, I can do it because... I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Absolutely. What's that old phrase? I love that. If God leads you to it, he'll see you through
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And isn't that true?
Yeah, it is.
And that's what happened here. And so David begins to, and I think this is huge. And so as we start this new series on Wednesday night, morning, noon, and night, this is a lot to do with this right here. David is recounting, okay? He's recounting the way God has moved in his life.
Right.
Huge, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. When we can remember what God has done in our lives, that gives us strength.
Right.
It gives us confidence.
Right.
To go on.
Yes.
And, you know, it says here that confidence is richly rewarded when you're talking about in Hebrews.
Yes.
And that, it's funny because God gives us that confidence.
Right.
By what he's done in the past.
Right.
So he gives us this confidence. And by having this confidence, we're richly rewarded.
Ooh.
Isn't God awesome?
He's wonderful.
He gives us stuff so that we can be rewarded.
We're learning his ways, Alice. We're learning the way God moves. And how he moves is he does prepare you.
Right.
It's not like you're thrown into something without any preparation.
Right.
If you keep your eyes open and your ears open, you'll see with your spiritual eyes and your heart, mm-hmm. where is your heart? You will see how God has been preparing you for right this moment, right where you are right now.
Exactly. And... You know, there's so many times that I've wondered, why have I gone through certain things in my life?
Right.
You know, growing up wasn't real fun in my life, you know, in my childhood. And, you know, and I've been through some rough times emotionally and all that kind of thing. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that every single thing that I went through was for a reason. And that's for right here and right now. So that, you know, the bad stuff that I went through, there's already been opportunities for me to minister to other people who are going through similar situations.
Exactly.
And I can say, hey, you know, there is another side. Mm. You can work through this and it does get better, you know, and, God is just amazing that he's allowed me to do that.
Right. And to see that big picture of your life.
Yeah. And to see the big picture. And, you know, I still, I mean, I'm not, you know, don't get me wrong, my life is not perfect. I, you know, don't live in this ideal world. But I know now that the things that I go through, I'm going through them for a reason. Because God has shown me from my past that the things that I went through for a reason.
Right.
So I know now anything that I'm going through, it's for a reason.
Ooh.
I know that I can get through it, and I know God's going to use it.
Wow. And you know that this situation in David's life with the lion and the bear prepared him for the day of Goliath. The day of Goliath prepared him for running all those years from Saul trying to kill him. 21 times he ran.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, he was running and because Saul tried to kill him 21 times.
Right.
So, show us your ways, God. Listen to this great song by Hillsong. One of my favorite songs. One of my favorite songs.
My home.
Praise God, show me your ways. Alice, we love that song. Okay. We love that song,
I'm
don't
done
we?
Singing along, yeah.
We've been in here singing along. Good thing they can't hear us.
I know.
Oh, but we love it. We love it. Show me your ways, God. David said this over and over again. When you read the book of Psalms, and we noticed when we read them on Wednesday nights, that so most of them are written by David.
Most of them, yes.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. To think that he had the time to do all this.
Right.
And I'm sure this was written over these were written over the span of his lifetime.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Just the anointing that's on the Psalms is amazing. To think that however many thousands of years ago David wrote these Psalms, and today they still
About
speak
3,
to our hearts. Yeah, today they still speak to our
amazing.
Hearts, and they're
amazing.
Still pertinent today.
Yes. So show me your ways. So David, as a shepherd boy, I think, was sitting there being prepared. He was being prepared emotionally, spiritually. He was praising God. We've talked about that over the last few weeks, that David's heart was a heart after God. Go ahead.
Well, I think about the 23rd Psalm.
Yeah.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, look here. Was he not prepared? He was prepared.
The valley, the shadow of death,
right
here.
It was a valley right there.
Boy, that's a good point.
Giant, and you know, he will fear no evil.
Fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they come from me.
Yeah.
Wow. So here he is in that position right here. And so Saul tries to get him to wear his armor. You know, and I imagine this was funny because David was little. He was not, he was handsome, but he was not a big guy. He was probably 5'8", 5'9". He was not a huge guy. But to be, King Saul was head and shoulders above the average person in Israel. So this armor had to be huge.
Right. And to me, it's like, you know, when you have well-meaning friends that find out you're going through a difficult situation and they try to... I don't know how to say it. They try to put onto you what they would do. You know,
sure.
I would do this. You know, you need to do this. You need to do that. And really, in those times, you really need to rely on God.
Absolutely.
And it may have worked for
them,
but it may not be what God has for you. You know, and in this situation. You know, Saul's armor had worked for him all these years.
Right.
You know, but it didn't fit David.
Didn't fit David.
And didn't fit what God's plan was for David.
Oh, absolutely. That reminded me of Proverbs 3. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding.
Right.
In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. And so here's David. He's been directed into this situation, into the path of this huge giant that's, you know, 10 feet tall.
Right.
And little David is half that size, you know, or maybe a little over. But anyway, so David rejects the king's armor, and he just says, no, I can't do that. I haven't tested it. I haven't tried it.
Right.
It's not mine. That's not mine. I can't do that, you know?
So he went with something he was used to, what God had been training him for.
Yes.
He went to a sling. Yeah.
You know, and the commentaries I've read about that during that time, these people who were good at a sling, it was as powerful a weapon as a gun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they would sling that thing, and they had expert, precise, target. I mean, they were able to hit a target just bam.
Right.
You know.
I always think about all the time that he spent, you know, in the fields with the sheep.
Yes.
You know, watching over the sheep and guarding them, making sure, you know, that the wolves and whatever else don't attack the sheep. He had plenty of time to practice with the sling.
Oh,
you know, and the sling is, if you think about it, is one thing. It's not going to startle the sheep.
Right.
You know.
They couldn't hear it coming.
Well, and, true, but I'm thinking that it's something that he can practice anytime, anywhere. He didn't have any special equipment other than this strap of leather, really.
Right.
You know, that he could just attach to his belt and walk on.
Right.
And he could find stones along the way. So it wasn't something that he had to have a lot of equipment with him to practice. So, you know, for him to be in the fields with the sheep, he had plenty of time. To be practicing this. And... you know, I'm sure that it was something he enjoyed, you know, as his skill got better and better. But I don't think he realized he would be using it in this kind of situation.
In this kind of scenario.
Right.
But don't you think it's interesting he did take it with him? It probably never left his side, his weapon.
Right, because he was used to it.
Here's our weapon.
That's
right,
our weapon
here
is the
word of God.
Right.
And it needs to be with us. It needs to be within our hearts morning, noon, and night.
Right.
Ta-da. It really does, because that's the weapon. David never laid that down. He took it right here to the battlefield. He could have said to Saul, wait a minute, you know, I had a weapon, but I forgot. I left it at home with the sheep.
Right.
You know? And a lot of us, I think, Alice, we are prone to forget our Bible. We're prone to just neglect the reading and the studying and the developing our weapon, you know? So often, you know, people that are good marksmen as far as, like, guns and whatever, they go and they practice.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and they'll practice for hours at a time until they, you know, run out of bullets or whatever.
And they love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh. When I was in Indiana this week, one night we were looking at old movies, you know, the kids, you know, my grandkids. And Justin is only 12, but he had his first kill of a deer 2 years ago when he was 10. And so there's the, they have this on video, and I had never seen this. It kind of, frankly, grosses me out. And I don't know where my son, well, I do know where my son got all that desire to hunt and all that from his grandpa, but still, not my dad, the other one. But still, it was so interesting to see Justin, this little guy, had been practicing, you know, and looks and sees that target and, you know, puts his gun up there ready to, and knows that he's pretty little against this. But he does, and he hits it, and that's his first kill. And it's amazing to me watching all that and how it took that perseverance and that little guy who could have just said, I'm tired, I'm going to lay down and, you know, not do this, you know.
It does take, it takes perseverance, it takes practice.
Right.
It takes a willingness to actually put the effort into it. And that's the same thing with, you know, people always say, and I'm one of the people that say this, you know, I don't know chapter and verse. I can't quote you chapter and verse. But that's, I don't think quoting the chapter and verse is as important as getting the concepts and the knowledge in your heart.
Yes.
Because those are the things that you can carry with you every day.
Right.
And you can have you're going to have a better witnessing conversation with someone if you can say, you know, the Bible says this,
right,
you know, and this is how God has moved in my life, rather than saying you know, being a little, you know, uptight with your, you know, whatever and saying, oh, you know, what chapter, you know, 5 verse 17 and quote it word for word. A lot of people get turned off by that.
They do.
But if you can give the concepts and you know, and let people know that God is alive and well and living here in our hearts,
absolutely,
then you know, people respond to that.
Oh, they do respond to that. You know, I think Saul responded to the confidence that David had here, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because we see in the end of verse 37 of 1 Samuel 17 that after David tells him about the lion and the bear, Saul simply says to him, go and God help you.
Yeah. I always read that and kind of laugh a little bit because it's like, you know what? God help you. You know, I don't know exactly how Saul meant that. Was he being sincere? I don't know,
but it's interesting. And, you know, then, of course, the armor thing happens. And so in verse 40, then David took his shepherd's staff. He selected 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the pocket of his shepherd's pack. With his sling in his hand, he approached Goliath. Now, I honestly, what I was talking about this morning about the smooth stones versus jagged. Very important point, don't you think?
Yeah, very important. Because
go ahead and make that point since I made it this morning.
Well, because accuracy is so important.
Yes.
And especially in this situation, because you had mentioned that in the helmet that Goliath had, there's only a small opening, small window of opportunity to hit that mark.
There you go.
And,
small kairos opportunity moment, right?
And so you want... you want that projectile to be as accurate as possible. And when you have a smooth stone, it's going to be more accurate than a jagged stone. Because as you had mentioned today, the jagged stones that, you know, it'll throw the trajectory off course.
It will.
So, you know, if it's, you know, because the air will hit it one way or another way, depending on the stone. And, you know, you'll end up hitting, you know, onto the armor, which would have done nothing.
We would have done nothing. He would have laughed, you know. It had to be smooth. And I also think that's interesting. It's a metaphor for what God does in our lives and smooths us out.
Yes.
And he takes those jagged edges off, doesn't he?
He does.
Because so often it's the jagged edges that cause people to go, I don't want anything of the gospel. If you're a Christian, forget that, man. I don't want that. And we've heard that through the years.
Oh,
people
yeah.
say that about Christians. You know, if that's what being a Christian is.
I used to say that.
I don't want that.
I used to say that.
And that's those jagged edges.
It's those jagged edges, yeah. And, you know, God will refine and smooth and sand down until you're just what he wants you to be.
Ah. So he picked up smooth stones, and we're those stones too. Which we could go into that. First Peter.
Well, I want to point out that these stones were in a brook, right?
Yes.
Which means the water had been flowing over them for a number of years.
Great metaphor.
In order for them to be smoothed out.
Yes.
And we know that the water is the word.
The word.
So
that's
the
great.
Word of, to me that tells me the word of God has been molding these weapons or these people or whatever you know the stones represent. Before their purpose was found.
Oh, that is so good. I'm so glad you brought that up. I didn't think of that. And then you think about that those stones had a purpose from the beginning of time.
The beginning of time, right.
You know, and it took that Kairos moment, God's strategic, opportune moment, when those would be picked up and used for his glory, just like us.
Right.
Smooth stones as God works all those jagged edges off of us.
Yeah. So even the smallest thing to the stone that was used was just as important as anything else in this whole picture. Yeah.
Isn't this fascinating? Don't you love this?
I
love it. I love discussing it with you because you really get it, you know? Five stones. Five is the number of grace all through the Word of God. Five stones. But David didn't pick up five because he thought he was going to miss on his first shot, did he?
No. We have to remember that Goliath had four brothers.
He had four brothers.
He did. And, you know, if Goliath went down, who knows what these brothers were going to do? So David had to be prepared. He's, you know, smart young man.
I preached a sermon clear back maybe 6-7 years ago called Goliath Was a Family Man. And he did. He had four brothers just as ugly and big and mean as he was. You know, he was the biggest, but still. So David was prepared.
Yes.
He was prepared.
Yes.
He didn't take this. He was not thinking he was going to lose this at all. He was prepared to take them all out.
That's right.
All the giants.
Right.
And we need to be that way, Al. So we need to be that prepared to for God to use us in such a mighty way that we just go into the next battle and the next, and we are there ready with the confidence. This is the confidence that we have before him.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we know we have the requests that we've asked from God. 1 John 5:14-15, and that's the confidence here that David had that day when he picked up five smooth stones.
Right.
So that's where we are. So what happened here? The giant begins to taunt David more.
Yeah. Amazing. Isn't that just like Satan?
Isn't it? I mean, here's David. He's armed with his smooth stones.
Right.
We're armed with the word.
Right.
Yet the devil doesn't give up that easy.
No.
He doesn't just back off. Oh, she's reading the word. All right, I'll come back in a year.
No.
It doesn't work that way.
Oh, no.
And so we see that the Philistine, which is Goliath in verse 44, says, come on, taunts him more.
Mm-hmm.
Says, I'll make roadkill of you for the buzzards, and I'll turn you into a tasty morsel for the field mice.
Yeah.
Ooh, read the next verse. I love this one, Alice. I love verse 46?
45.
Yeah. Of 1 Samuel 17.
David answered, you come at me with sword and spear and battle axe.
Mm.
I come at you in the name of the God of the angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock. This very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head, and serve up your body and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and the coyotes.
Wow.
The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel, and everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God. He's handing you to us on a platter. They were just trash talking, weren't they?
Trash talking. Can you imagine this? I mean, David is going, hey, this is what's going to happen. Very confident. Right. Again, the confidence.
Right.
You gave a word from God this morning in the service. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
That's right.
It's not about how big and how strong David was. It's not by might, not by power, mm-hmm. not how his biceps were. But by my spirit, saith God, because God had already planned that David was going to win this battle. All
That's
he
right.
was looking for was a willing vessel, Alice. That's all he was looking
That's
for
all he
here.
Was looking for. Yeah.
He was looking for somebody who'd say, okay, I'll take that challenge. I'll go.
Right.
I'll go. And, oh, is that good stuff?
It is
don't
good
you
stuff.
Like that?
Yeah, it is. And I just love David's little speech here because I don't know. It's just great. I'm about to kill you and cut off your head. Ooh, you go, David.
You go. What did that do in the next verse? It roused the Philistine, and he started toward David. Now David's the one that's doing the trash talking. He's
right.
the one that's saying, hey, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
And so the Philistine basically just challenged.
He got really angry,
I think he got really angry. Yeah.
Yeah, he got really angry. And the thing that's amazing is that David just stepped right up into it. He was on the front line and he just stepped off and just met the Philistine.
He did. Yeah. He took off from the front line running toward the Philistine. Mm-hmm. Again, Psalm 18. David reached into his pocket for a stone. He slung it and hit the Philistine hard in the forehead. Embedded the stone deeply. The Philistine crashed face down in the dirt.
Think about it. You've got this giant running towards
Woo!
You. So the giant's in motion, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
David's in motion.
Mm-hmm.
While this is happening, he's doing his sling thing and lets the stone fly and it hits the mark.
Hits the mark.
Yeah. To me, that's amazing. You've got all this action happening.
Right.
And it's one thing to hit a still target
right.
when you're being still.
Right.
It's another thing for a moving target when you're being still. But for both of you to be in motion.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, the opportunity for error.
Is huge.
Huge. The opportunity to not hit the mark is huge.
Right.
Just by virtue of running, you know, mm-hmm. and calculating. I mean, amazing. Amazing. Yeah. This is God. Only God could make that happen.
I would
have
loved to have been able to see that.
Would you?
Know,
I hope they have a video of it.
Yeah, heaven. Watch it over and over and over again.
If so, God, we want to see that when we're up there. Yeah, we want to see that video. And Goliath fell face down in the dirt.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Too cool.
And I always wondered about that because I guess in my earlier years, I didn't read it very thoroughly, you know, and
right.
it's like, well, why did he fall face forward? But then I was thinking about it, it's his momentum.
Right.
Because he was running forward.
Yes.
You know, and the momentum of himself running forward.
Right. Just knocked him straight down.
Yeah, in the dirt.
In the dirt. Woo! And then what does David do? He runs. David ran up to the Philistine and stood over him and pulled the giant sword from its...
That's another amazing thing.
Because
the swords were so heavy.
Oh,
okay?
Huge.
And if the giant spearhead was 15 pounds, can you imagine the weight of the sword?
Oh.
And David just lifted it up like it was nothing. And
I can
takes
do all
care
things
of business.
Through Christ.
Yeah.
He strengthens me.
Yeah.
And he does. And he cuts the giant's head off and then takes the head with him. And I mean, I love verse 52. The men of Israel and Judah were up and on their feet shouting, and then they chased the rest of the bad guys all the way back,
right.
you know, and they got all the spoil, which, you know, they looted their camp. They got all the, you know, amazing, the blessings, the benefits of obedience.
Right.
Ugh.
Right, because the rest of the army's confidence was gained through
yes.
David's confidence, you know, so it's great that, you know, when God puts something before us
yeah.
and we have the confidence to go through it, other people are seeing that.
Exactly.
And that will build their faith and
right.
give them the confidence to do the things that God has for them to do.
It's why it's so important that pastors in particular and TV evangelists, whatever, live that kind of a life where we can be an example
right.
to our people. And I mean, we're all human. But still, we need to be that out on the front line there declaring this is what God says. This mm-hmm. is the word of the Lord. This is where we're headed. And then when people see that and see what God's doing, they follow in,
right.
you know?
Right, exactly.
which is just, this is just so amazing what God did here through David, and how it's a story everybody knows. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows this. I mean, I mean, secular life, people know about David and Goliath. Right. This is not something that is just some obscure little story hidden in the pages of our Bible.
Yeah, but I don't think people really, they don't see the whole picture. You know, we've gone through it step by step, so it's easier for us to pick out, you know, these larger concepts.
Yeah.
Okay, David, you know, was a little boy. That's what they say, the shepherd boy killed
shepherd
the giant.
Boy. Right.
You know, but they don't keep in mind that he was 20-something years old.
Right.
You know, that just all these different pieces. And it's great that we have the opportunity to sit here and delve into this deeper and get a deeper meaning and understand God's character through this.
Absolutely,
you know,
and how, his character.
How you know, he's there consistently. He's helping David through you know, the difficult times.
Right.
He's David's confidence.
Yes.
You know, it's just all this stuff. It's awesome.
Woo, it's so awesome. And it reminds me of Psalm 3 that David wrote. And we're going to go there, and then we're going to play a song that's absolutely going to bless you. Again, one of my favorites. Terry McCallum does this one. David wrote this Psalm 3 in a very difficult time in his life. And it says, "You're my glory and the lifter of my head."
Yes.
And David just says, "Oh, Lord, how many are my foes?" It must have felt that way that day with Goliath. "How many rise up against me? Many are saying to me, 'God will not deliver him.'" You know they were saying that day with this battle.
Oh, yeah.
"But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me, and you lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I'll not be afraid of tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. You're my glory and the lifter of my head." Let's do that song.
You're all we want to see. You're my glory. You're my glory, Lord, and the lifter of my head. For thou, Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the
Frederick, let's cue that up again. We're going to go back to it again in just a moment. Just going to keep it lower in intensity. But isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Can't you just see David singing that?
Oh, yeah.
Especially after this battle, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, final thoughts, Alice. What has God said to you today? And really, our listening audience, I just want them to understand the hope that we have in God to win these battles in our lives. But go ahead, tell me your thoughts. What
God is speaking to me that we need to remember what He's done for us already.
Yes.
That we need to, if you haven't written it down already, write it down now.
Write it down.
And remember the things that God has done for you. Remember the hard right. times that He's brought you through.
Right.
Remember the difficult situations, the times where things seemed hopeless.
Right.
Remember those and write them down.
Yeah.
Because they will be such a source of strength and hope and faith for you in the future.
Absolutely.
Because it's really important that we remember God's goodness.
Amen.
And what He's already done. So that we can have the faith in what He'll do next.
Amen. I so agree. Ah, that's it right there. That's it. You said it. And for some of you out there today who are going through very difficult circumstances, maybe you feel like you've lost your hope, like these Israelite army did. They felt that way. They'd lost all hope whatsoever. God is right there for you, and He wants to show Himself strong in your behalf.
He does.
He really does. We pray a blessing upon you in the name of Jesus right now. For those of you out there that need physical healing in your body, we just ask right now that the Spirit of the living God would reach down and touch your body right this moment. Cedric, let's turn that song back on just a little lower so I can talk over it. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you right now for your healing touch going out to those listening right this moment that need a touch from Almighty God. Be healed, bodies, in Jesus' name. Some of you are emotionally drugged down. You're weary. You're weary of the battle. You're tired of fighting. And God would say to you, just rest today. Just rest. Rest in Him. And just know that He is going to lift you up out of your circumstances. And know that today is just the beginning of a new season in your life. And realize that He's your glory and the lifter of your head. That He's got blessings in store for you that you have no clue how wonderful they are going to be. So you just begin to thank God before you see those blessings. And begin to sing with us that you're my glory and the lifter of my head. Because that's who He is. That's Psalm 3. When you get a chance, go there again. Some of you are in financial stress and distress. And God would say today that He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He will meet your needs, sometimes in many unusual ways, but He will. And so just resist that desire to feel sorry for yourself today. God would say, instead, begin to rejoice that He's your provider. That He's the healer of your body, that He's the healer of your emotions, and begin to allow Him to lift you up out of your pit of despair today. Know that God loves you so much and has a plan for your life that is above and beyond anything you could ever imagine. He's your glory and the lifter of your head. So rejoice right now and accept His touch on your life this moment. And know that God loves you so very, very much. Listen to this verse. God, He's going to stand beside you until that day. Hallelujah. We invite you to check us out on the web, beaconofhopeministries.com. We invite you to use our prayer line, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. We invite you to get involved with what God is doing and just know that he's got a plan for you that is so amazing. Alice, don't you just love to share the word?
I do.
Have you been blessed today? Because I have. This
I
has
have
been
very
a great
much.
Show.
You know, I always, it's funny because when I was a kid, I grew up in a very evangelistic type church. And as a kid, I always thought, you know, I could never do that.
Right.
I could never do that. But you know what? God's amazing.
Here you are.
Here I am. Yeah.
Here you are on the radio. What a blessing. God bless you each. So we enjoy having you tune in. Tell people about this radio show. And it's a good way to acquaint them with the ministry of Beacon of Hope. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, come and visit us on Sunday morning at 10, Wednesday night at 7. We'd love to have you. It's not far to Jesus, no matter what your circumstances are today. It's not. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with Alice Mize and Pastor Jim Ellsbury, saying God bless you. Have a great week. If you need us, you can write us directly, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com or prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. God bless you. Have a good week. We'll see you next week live, 4 o'clock, Tampa Bay time. Join us then. It's not far from here, Jesus. It's not far from here. It's not far from here, Jesus. It's not far from here. It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.